and welcome. This is David B. Wright, National Director of 40 Days for Life, and you are in the right place at the right time for the Believe teleconference and web simulcast. We are doing this call live on Monday, November 9th, and we are glad that you are here. And before we get started with any of the material we will be covering tonight, we wanted to begin first and foremost by taking all of these efforts to our Lord in prayer. If you'll please join me. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly tonight, and we thank you for all the incredible things that you have done, that you are doing, and the things you will continue to do. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a part of this work that you have called us to do. You have laid before us a command to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and we are so thankful that we have an opportunity to join you in the great work that you are doing here on earth, saving the lives of innocent children and their mothers, and helping to restore families and to bring healing to those who have been wounded. Dear God, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together tonight through this teleconference and webcast. We ask you to please watch over the technology and help it to be stable and help it to continue to get this message across to everybody who is participating. Please be with all of our presenters. Guide them in what they say. Guide them in all that they communicate, that it falls upon ears and minds that are ready to receive and hear the messages that you want to come through each of the presenters. I ask you to please bless everybody who is a part of this event, whether dialing in by telephone, whether listening by streaming web audio, or listening to the recording after the fact. Dear Lord, please bless all of these amazing, faithful people who have done such heroic work over these last few months and over these last few years. I thank you in advance for whatever it is you have in store for tonight, for the information that will be shared, and for the inspiration that it will hopefully generate for those who are part of this event. Please guide and direct us in everything we say, everything we do, everything we think. Let all of these efforts not be about 40 Days for Life. Let it not be about any people, any personalities. Let it not be about anything but you. And as these efforts continue to bear fruit and as more lives are spared, as more people find healing, as more amazing conversions happen throughout our world, we just ask that you be glorified in all of that. Nobody else but you. With you, all things are possible, and without you, none of this would be possible. So we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, before we get started tonight, I wanted to encourage everybody to download the action guide that goes along with this teleconference and webcast. If you're listening in to the sound of our voices via the streaming web audio, whether it's live during the event or the recording after the fact, or if you are dialing in the page where you got your phone number and the conference ID to join us live on this conversation, on that page there is a big gray button with a red arrow pointing to it, and that gray button says Get Action Guide. And if you click that button, it will not take you away from the webcast or the recording. It will open up in a separate window on your computer's browser with a PDF document. That's an Adobe Acrobat document. It's a 10-page document. Most computers have that plug-in easily installed already on the computer, and that 10-page document will open up. And I would encourage you, if you're able, to go ahead and print that document out, have a pen handy to take notes as we go along. We're going to be covering a lot of information in a short period of time tonight, and not only jot down the thoughts that you hear some of the presenters share during this call tonight, but also some of the thoughts that are generated, some of your ideas, some of the things that through your prayer you discern as you are going through this conversation tonight. Many times those will be some of the most profound and impactful thoughts that you can go back and reflect on many times down the road. Now, I have to tell you, it was not planned that we would be holding this event and that we would call it Believe on the date with the historical significance that November 9th has. But this morning, as we all woke up and turned on the televisions and listened to the news, we're reminded that it was 20 years ago today, November 9th, when we're holding this live event, that the Berlin Wall began to be torn down. And I know there are some people involved in 40 Days for Life who weren't even yet alive at that time, and I was. I won't tell you how long I'd been alive at that time, but I remember that so crystal clear, watching on television as people who had been oppressed, who had been trapped inside those walls built by atheistic communism in East Berlin, who had the opportunity to finally climb up on those walls with hammers and chisels and begin to tear down that visible sign of oppression and the separation between freedom and between communism. And that was a historic moment, and many people, when that happened, were shocked that it happened so rapidly. But one person who wasn't completely shocked is a historical figure that I've studied a fair amount, and that is Ronald Reagan. And I was just recently rereading a book about Ronald Reagan and reflecting not so much on that date of November 9th, 1989, but another date that many people will remember, which was June 12, 1987. And that was the date when Ronald Reagan went to that Berlin Wall, stood in front of the Brandenburg Gate, and delivered that famous speech in front of the Berlin Wall, calling upon General Secretary Gorbachev to tear down this wall. And he said, and I quote, "General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." So 2 years and a few months before that wall began to fall, there was one man who believed that it could happen. And he spoke it into existence. And he and other figures, including Pope John Paul II and other historical figures, they believed that it would happen. And 2 years later, they watched, as the rest of the world watched, on November 9th, as that wall was, in fact, torn down. And it was interesting because there was a news reporter who a few months later followed Ronald Reagan. He had left office by 1989, and in 1990, he went to East Berlin, and he actually had his own chisel and hammer and was there chipping out a piece of the wall for himself. And a reporter asked him, "Did you think it would happen as quickly as it happened?" And here was Ronald Reagan, who had this belief that it would happen, but even he said, and I quote, "I didn't believe it would happen this soon, and I'm an optimist." So Ronald Reagan had a little bitty seed of faith. It wasn't even a huge seed of faith, but he believed it could fall. And 2 years later, indeed, because of that belief and because many people acted upon it, that wall indeed did fall. And that reminds us of the scripture that we have on the cover of this action guide and that we've used in the promotion talking about this Believe teleconference, the verse from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Ronald Reagan was a historical figure who demonstrated to us that belief could tear down this Berlin Wall and is a great example for us as we look at this great crisis of abortion, the greatest injustice of our generation. We believe that it can end. We believe that it will end. And when it does, the world will look and be shocked that it happened so quickly. But it all starts with that belief that each of us have, even if it's a tiny seed of belief and faith as small as a mustard seed. So tonight on this Believe teleconference, we have a number of things we're trying to accomplish. The first thing is we want to convey to you some of the challenges and difficulties we're facing right now in the midst of the pro-life movement. But then we want to focus on the hope that we have in the midst of these problems. We will then go a little bit over, for those who are maybe new to this effort, what 40 Days for Life is and the results that this sweeping grassroots effort has had this fall and over the last few years, before we then shift from the past and the present to look to the future and talk about the specific plans for this effort over this next year. And then we'll talk about some of the challenges that we're going to have to face together if we're to take advantage of some of the new opportunities that have presented themselves, and we will share how you personally can take a role in helping to bring an end to abortion and take this whole effort to a whole new level of effectiveness. And to accomplish this, we also have a special surprise announcement toward the end of the call tonight that Sean Carney will be delivering. And by the time we're done, we hope that you will recognize the urgency and importance of this moment in history. We hope you will see how these plans that we will be sharing can help to transform your community, the nation, and literally the world. And we hope that you will prayerfully discern the role that God has for you in this effort, for your community, and that you will decide how you can invest your time, your talents, and, yes, your treasure into this pro-life work to take it to a whole new level and press on until that day when no more women cry and no more children die. And we will tonight have two opportunities if you choose and feel led to invest in this work. You can make a one-time gift into supporting the National 40 Days for Life effort, or you can make a pledge of ongoing monthly support, or both of those. There's no obligation whatsoever, but we just wanted to make that opportunity available to you to let you know with transparency the situation right now and what the needs are. We'll talk about that later in the call. And then if you feel led, you can support this work to help it grow and continue to make a positive impact. Let's start by talking about the problem that we're facing right now. Right now in America, and I know we have people on the phone and on the webcast who are dialing in from other countries, but we're focusing primarily first on the United States of America, where the 40 Days for Life effort has begun and where the bulk of these efforts have happened thus far. We are at a point where, since the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, more than 51 million abortions have been performed. More than 51 million children have perished. Millions of women have been wounded by abortion. It's a crisis that has reached literally epidemic levels in our country. And it is something that has caused so much pain, as we now hear the testimonies of women and men who have been scarred by abortion, some physically, but countless millions emotionally and psychologically and spiritually. We see organizations like Planned Parenthood that, according to the last year's annual report, performed 305,310 abortions while raking in a record $1 billion of revenue, a third of which came from your pockets and mine as American taxpayers, $349.6 million. And we look at the current climate here in America, particularly since the elections of last year, and we realize that the abortion industry has been working very closely with Washington bureaucrats and in numerous state legislatures to impose their agenda and to try to grow the abortion industry through taxpayer-funded support. And we've seen this play out most recently here in the United States with the effort to insert a massive abortion mandate into healthcare reform legislation that would provide the struggling abortion industry with a huge government-funded bailout. So there are a lot of challenges we are facing. We have to be very clear about that. We have to know this is the hand that we've been dealt. But as bad as things are, and as much as at times we may want to throw up our hands in despair, we have to remember the words of Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And there is tremendous hope because the body of Christ is waking up, believing that abortion can and will end. People of faith and conscience are joining together, realizing abortions aren't happening inside the White House. They aren't happening in the United States Capitol or in the Supreme Court. They're happening where we live, in the cities and the towns, where we worship, where we work, where we play. That is where lives are at the greatest risk, and that is where we have the greatest opportunity to save those lives. And people are mobilizing right now in record numbers, more than we have seen in literally years in the pro-life movement, have gotten involved just in these last few months. And one of the places where we are clearly much more in tune with this is through this 40 Days for Life effort that has become this sweeping momentum across North America and now across the rest of the world. And to share a little bit about 40 Days, give you a little bit of the background, and then to share the results that we've seen in this effort over the last couple years, I want to introduce to you our campaign director for 40 Days for Life, one of my heroes, Mr. Sean Carney. Sean, how are you tonight?
Good. I'm doing good. And I know even after doing this for 2 years nationally, we still have people on this call who have no idea how this entire thing got started. And the one thing that we always emphasize is that this campaign, which is a grassroots campaign, has humble beginnings. Sometimes in College Station, Texas, we have leaders of 40 Days for Life across the country visit our location where it started. And we always talk about the four people sitting around this old wooden table praying about how they could impact our local abortion numbers. And today, we had Lauren Lowe, who is one of the leaders in Fargo, North Dakota, and he was looking around. He was so excited to be in College Station, and he looked at that wooden table, and he says, "You know, you guys aren't kidding. This really was humble beginnings." And and we mean that. We saw the significance of 40 days, how God uses 40 days throughout Scripture. And so we decided in 2004, in that fall, to do 40 days of prayer, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of a nonstop, peaceful 24-hour vigil outside of our local Planned Parenthood abortion facility, and a 40-day door-to-door outreach where we went to 25,000 households asking people to pray for an end to abortion. And the results were amazing. We saw 1,000 new people get involved. We saw our local abortion numbers drop by 28% as a result of the campaign. And the campaign just started to spread to other cities. People were asking us how to do it. And in the fall of 2007, David and I decided to coordinate a national campaign. And just this fall, the fall 2009 campaign, the one that just ended on November 1st, we had 212 locations in 45 states, including the District of Columbia, 5 Canadian provinces, and Denmark, complete the 40 Days for Life that just ended. Tens of thousands of participants helped with this 40 Days for Life, And every year we survey the people who get involved, and we find consistently that over 31% of the people who participated in 40 Days for Life had never done anything in the pro-life movement before 40 Days for Life. And that was key in reaching so many of these people that want to do something with the clinics that are in their town just around from where they live. 100 news stories came out, and that number is growing by the day, as many of you know, as a result of this fall campaign. And the most important number, the 589 lives saved, the confirmed saves that still come in. I know we report the saves, but many of our leaders are still tallying them up. They're still getting reports from women who were scheduled to have abortions during the campaigns and didn't. And so that number will continue to grow. And, of course, this fall we had 8 abortion clinic workers quit their jobs, and you will hear from one of them later tonight here on this call. And some of the best news, this was certainly a busy fall, was the 2 abortion facilities that announced that they were closing, one in Montana and the other in Pensacola, Florida. Pensacola, Florida literally announced they were closing on day 38 of this 40 Days for Life that we just completed by putting up another for sale sign on that building. And so when you look at the last 2 years, and David and I always get questions about, did you guys have any idea what you were in for? And we didn't. Well, our goal in 2007 was to have 25 cities do this campaign, and we had no idea what the Holy Spirit had in store for us. We had no idea how many frequent fire miles we would accumulate over the next 18 months. And as we've seen this grow from the fall of 2007, 678 campaigns in 282 cities have been completed, and that covers all 50 states and several other countries as the campaign has traveled overseas. Over 225,000 people have participated in 40 Days for Life since it went national in 2007. 5,000 church congregations have locked arms to stand against this injustice. It's an extremely ecumenical movement. 500 media stories, including many in the secular media and in the national media. And the number that has just continued to grow and humbles us all is the 2,150 babies, little boys and little girls who were given life as a result of your witness, as a result of you being willing to defend those that you cannot see and defend those that you most likely will never get to meet. And the 26 abortion clinic workers who had conversions and left their jobs since 2007. The 5 abortion facilities that have now closed as a result of the campaign. And all of this is due, and when you see how 40 Days for Life operates, David and I have had the opportunity to meet many of you. You know that we are a small operation, and this is all due to the grace of God. We had no idea how large this was going to get. We had no idea your response, and it is due to your faithfulness, to your faithfulness to God, to your participation, and to your support. And we just have to say thank you, because God is using you, He is using these results, and He is changing hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, I have to add one other little blessing that we have just gotten word of, and this is still a story that's developing, but another abortion facility that was the site of a 40 Days for Life campaign this fall now has in its window a giant for sale sign, and that building is on the market as we speak. So the results continue to come in and continue to come about as a result of, as you mentioned, the grace of God and certainly the faithfulness of so many people. I wanted to mention one other blessing, and this is not in the handout. We've gone through now page 4 of your action guide. And one other area that we just wanted to make sure you were aware of how much has happened due to your faithfulness and due to your belief, and that is in the area of the healthcare reform debate that has been going on at a fevered pitch here in the United States over these last few months. Back early in the summertime, when it was discovered that the proposals for a sweeping healthcare takeover by the government would include a massive abortion mandate that would force taxpayers to underwrite abortion coverage through both public options and even in some cases private options that would be reimbursed through the government, a lot of pro-life groups began to become very concerned about this, And though we're in the midst of planning for a Fall 40 Days for Life campaign, and we're in the midst of working on some of the other initiatives we'll be talking about tonight, we recognize the critical urgency of this moment. And so 40 Days for Life was able to prioritize time to serve as a key organizer for an effort called the Stop the Abortion Mandate Coalition. And ultimately, that effort has now joined over 70 national groups that are working together. Everybody from Dr. James Dobson at Focus on the Family, who literally was on retreat writing his next book and stopped to come back and record information to disseminate through this Stop the Abortion Mandate Coalition to team up with 40 Days and these other organizations, to the Knights of Columbus, to Dr. Richard Land of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, to just about every national pro-life and pro-family organization. And I've been told by numerous national leaders that this has been the largest collaborative pro-life project in the history of our movement. And it all began publicly back in July with a massive webcast, similar to the type of event we're holding tonight, but it was an event that was hosted by 40 Days for Life, but brought 19 speakers from different organizations together and rallied over 36,000 attendees on one webcast conference call event. And that event, within the next 72 hours, generated over 100,000 letters and emails to Congress asking elected officials to explicitly exclude abortion from any health care reform proposals. Tens of thousands of phone calls poured into congressional offices. And then throughout the entire summer, we saw town hall meeting after town hall meeting as people were going and asking their elected officials to make sure that abortion was kept out of healthcare reform. These efforts became so effective that President Obama himself headlined a copycat webcast to push back on the efforts that you and so many others have been a part of, and ironically, I guess, they called it 40 Days for Health Reform. I had several reporters calling me right after that was announced, and they said, well, what do you think about this? Don't you think imitation is the sincerest form of flattery? And my initial thought was, you know what? I'm not flattered when the spiritual time frame of 40 days is being manipulated to promote the destruction of the lives of innocent children and the wounding of women. So, no, we're not flattered. And in a sense, it was just one more thing that really helped people to see the clear difference between the abortion mandate and those who feel that abortion and taxpayer-funded abortion should be included in healthcare reform. So since that time, we've seen tens of thousands more people joining these efforts. We've held press conferences and action alerts and viral videos and ads and social media campaigns, anything we could think of to do in partnership with these other organizations we've been working with, in a way to educate, equip, and empower people rapidly and effectively in ways that literally just a few years ago wouldn't have even been possible. And as a result of all of the tension this has created, a constructive tension, the president was then forced to directly respond to the abortion issue during his address to the joint session of Congress. And ultimately, as we all know if we follow the news and all over the weekend, the House leadership was trying to push through the health care reform bill with an abortion mandate, and at the last minute, realizing that it was all falling apart, the leadership caved and allowed a vote on the bipartisan amendment that did successfully strip government funding of abortion and the abortion mandate out of this health care bill. And I was very it was amazing to me to hear on the debate on the House floor when Abby Johnson's conversion story, which you'll be hearing in just a few minutes, was shared as part of that debate, and ultimately that amendment passed by a large margin. And even this morning, the Washington Times ran a prominent story stating that abortion has become the main issue in the health debate. Now, we still have a long way to go, and all of this while we're running this big 212-city National 40 Days for Life effort that we've all been working on this at the same time, and we know there's still a lot of work that needs to be done as concerns now shift over to the debate in the United States Senate. But this early victory was never expected. And I want to thank each and every one of you for believing that this could happen and then putting your action behind those beliefs. And that's just one more example of what can happen when the many parts of this pro-life movement work together as one body. Now, to shift specifically back to 40 Days for Life, I wanted you to hear now from a couple, husband and wife couple, who are going to share just a little bit of a story to help you to see exactly what can happen in one given community during a 40 Days for Life campaign. And to share what happened in Pensacola, Florida, I'd like to introduce Ernie and Mary Beth Sear, who are going to share a little bit. Ernie and Mary Beth, how are you doing this evening?
We're doing fine, David. We're so happy. 40 Days for Life has been such a success this year.
Well, good. And we're all praying for Pensacola and for Alabama and the other areas that are threatened by this tropical storm, Ida. And I thank you for your willingness to come on this call, even in the midst of that. And Ernie, I want to start with you. And I want to go back in time just a tiny bit and ask you to share just a little bit. How did you first hear about this 40 Days for Life thing, and how did you decide to first get involved?
Yeah, I first learned about 40 Days for Life when I was getting ready for work one morning, the summer of 2007, and I had EWTN on, and the show came out called Being Human, and I just saw these people outside praying in front of an abortion clinic, and I saw this peaceful, prayerful presence, and it just really spoke to me. And I said to myself, you know, this is a real different approach, you know, contrary to what the media often portrays, you know, the pro-life effort as. And I said, wow, you know, this is something that, you know, I think I could do. So I went and, you know, spoke with Mary Beth before I left for work, and I said, you know, I set a reminder on DirecTV, let's watch this show called Being Human together. So we did that evening, and at the very end of that show, we both turned to each other and we said, we have to do this. And so, you know, 3 years later, us and our, you know, Mary Beth and I and our four children go out and pray approximately 2 hours every evening, and have led, you know, three, 4 days for life campaigns here locally. So just been a miraculous spiritual growth for all of us.
Mm. So, Mary Beth, now let me ask you. You now and your husband, Ernie, have conducted, prior to this fall, two previous 40 Days for Life campaigns in Pensacola, and obviously they didn't have the same kind of fruit that you saw this fall, but what blessings did you experience from those other efforts?
Yes, David. Well, looking back and reflecting on the past couple of years, we really call our fall 2007 40 Days for Life the year of A Child Shall Lead Them. I label it that because we had an amazing miracle occur outside the abortion facility. Our children were seeing Jesus Loves the Little Babies, and a man pulled up beside us and waved Ernie over to his pickup truck. Well, Ernie, not knowing what he was going to wave us over for, went over to the truck and hesitantly, and the man said, I just want to thank you for being here. Because you were here, my wife and I decided to keep our baby. And Ernie then said to him, do you need anything? Can we help you with any resources? And he smiled at Ernie, and he said, no, we'll be just fine. And they both drove away. And it was just such an amazing miracle, the first year, 40 Days for Life. We also had one woman who heard a prayer vigil participant call out to her, save your baby, ma'am, save your baby. And hearing these words, she said that she just woke up inside herself, and she chose life for her baby. She left the abortion facility and went to Save a Life in Alabama. We were contacted later by Save a Life toward the end of 40 Days for Life, and they told us a story. We also watched a reduction in the number of abortions in 2007. On any given Friday at the beginning of 40 Days for Life, we saw about 25 to 30 women entering the abortion facility. We saw these numbers drastically decline to about 7 or 10 abortions. We all know one abortion is terrible, but just to see that number deplete was wonderful. And when we looked at the Florida abortion statistics from 2006 to 2007, we saw that these numbers were indeed declining and plummeting due to, we believe, the prayerful presence and fasting of 40 Days for Life. Also, we noticed that a second abortion clinic where we were not concentrating our 40 Days for Life efforts closed its doors for 3 weeks during the fall 40 Days for Life in 2007. And this was just a miracle far beyond the work that we were doing at the one abortion facility. During 2008, we call that the year of the post-abortive parent, because 18 post-abortive parents sought healing through 40 Days for Life. They came to us while we were standing out there and just said, do you think you're really making a difference out here, one woman said. And we said, yes, we are, because we've seen people come, and they say because we're here that they chose life for their child and that they're not going to suffer a life of regret and pain from their abortion. And they joined us at the prayer vigil, and they sought resources. We referred them to post-abortion healing resources and thanked us for being there. Also, we had an ultrasound tech at the abortion facility leave the abortion industry completely during fall 2008. And we reached out to her with a card and a love offering, and she said that she just couldn't believe that people she didn't even know, people she thought of as her enemy, were being so kind to her. So that was just beautiful how, you know, Christ used us as his conduit of mercy to reach out to her as well. In 2009, this has been a year of praise and thanksgiving, because this year we dedicated our 40 Days for Life to Our Lady of the Assumption. And our Bishop John Ricard from the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee was the first to formally endorse 40 Days for Life in fall 2009. And this was on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th. Our Monsignor Michael Reed and Father George Samet, along with nine other priests from nine parishes in our diocese, offered a novena of masses for the closing of the abortion facility during the first 9 days of 40 Days for Life 2009. And we had Jim Pinto from Priest for Life come, and we held a Eucharistic Adoration for Life and XLT for Life for the youth. And this was just so beautiful. It allowed us to give praise to Christ for all the mercies that he's endowed on 40 Days for Life and the people in our community that have been touched by the saving, being saved from abortion. And also, we've had University of West Florida Students for Life emerge out of this year's 40 Days for Life, and our local student body is now involved in 40 Days for Life, and we thank Bernadette Ensley because she really got this group started in our area. And we've been doubly blessed in 2009 because twins were saved one day while we were outside praying at the abortion facility. One woman came out and she asked to use the cell phone of one of the prayer vigil participants, and she said, "May I use your phone? I need to call my dad. I just found out I'm having twins." So it was just so beautiful to hear about that happening, too. And like I said, we're doubly blessed. And then one woman came out and told a pro-lifer that she was physically on the table about to have her abortion when she remembered and she started thinking about the people outside praying for her. She got up and left the facility. So we've had countless blessings and miracles occur, and these are just a few I wanted to share with you tonight.
Well, Mary Beth, thank you very much. And Ernie, as much as your wife has just shared with us, blessing after blessing, and I know she could go on for quite a while, all of those are leading up to the one that has probably captured the attention of so many around the country. And this fall, right after your local 40 Days for Life completed, you weren't even aware yet. It was after the campaign ended you discovered that a miracle occurred on day 38. Tell us the good news about what happened.
Yeah, very, very big miracle, just an amazing event occurred. And what happened is the prayers of all the people over the past 25 plus years that have been out in front of the Community Healthcare Center of Pensacola, the prayers were answered. And the miracle that we discovered was that the Community Healthcare Center of Pensacola had closed on day 38, as Sean alluded to. On day 38, they closed their doors. And we found reported in the legal notice section of the Pensacola News Journal, it said, as of October 30th, 2009, the Community Healthcare Center of Pensacola has terminated its practice. And so I immediately contacted a local news station, Channel 3 News, and asked them if they had heard about it. They had not. I mean, it was a really tiny legal notice that you had to be very thorough to see that in the paper. And anyway, I reported to them and heard back the next day. Said that they wanted to do an interview with us, and after they did the interview, they got a call from the regulatory agency for the state of Florida, and they were informed that for 413 days, the Community Healthcare Center was operating under a laboratory license that had expired, so that added up to a $413,000 fine. So they decided to close their doors rather than pay that fine, which is a very stiff penalty, of course. But we believe, it was obviously a miracle. The answer to our prayers over the past 3 years, of 25 plus years that people have been out there, just an amazing thing to witness, and we are just so blessed to be part of it.
And to think that you have been praying for this day for so long and believing it was possible, that little mustard seed size seed of faith, and here today you can stand out in front of that now closed abortion facility, and you're not the only one. This fall campaign, we had another announcement, as Sean mentioned, in Kalispell, Montana, and that facility actually will be closing on November 20th. I'm actually going to be going out to Kalispell for their celebration event on the day that Planned Parenthood Abortion Center shuts down. So God is doing amazing things, and you've witnessed that firsthand there in Pensacola, Florida. And Mary Beth, in just a few words, what would you say to somebody who maybe is on the phone or maybe listening to this webcast who's just thinking about getting involved in 40 Days for Life or just thinking about supporting this effort for the first time? What would you say to that person?
I would say yes to God and be faithful, because from what I've witnessed over the past 3 years, 40 Days for Life is truly God's gift to our community and to our nation and to our world. I believe that the pro-life work that we're doing is really God's work, and that the prayer and fasting and peaceful vigil and community outreach are the tools that God has given us to overcome abortion in our world. And 40 Days for Life gives people the opportunity to peacefully witness to your community. And we're there to save lives and minister the post-abortive men and women. Don't be afraid that thinking that you don't have the people and the resources to do a 40 Days for Life. That's God's department. He'll send the people to you through your witness. Make Jesus your 40 Days for Life campaign manager. and you be his instrument of mercy in front of the abortion facility. He'll use you to heal and to save many lives. Just be there. Show up, be there, be present is all it requires, and prayerfully, peacefully pray and fast, and it makes a difference. And as you can see, it many miracles are the fruits of that prayer and fasting and peaceful presence. And God works with small groups as well as he does with the big groups. So you'll hear about the successes of other campaigns, like we're just talking about our successes in Pensacola, and they may seem to be better organized or have more people, have more vigil participants on their calendars, but that doesn't matter. We, just like you, we're not the best organized campaign. We didn't have the resources. You talked about starting off with four people with your first 40 Days for Life in Texas. Think about Gideon in the Bible. He had a large army, and God wanted him to reduce his numbers to do the battle. So we're in a spiritual battle here, and we have all of heaven behind us. So take courage and pray and fast and stand vigil, and God will triumph.
Amen. Well, Mary Beth and Ernie, thank you so much for your heroic efforts, and thank you for your vision, your belief, and your willingness to work to make that a reality in your community, along with so many others, as you mentioned, who for years have been praying outside of that facility. And I want everybody who's listening right now to, if you've heard the joy in Mary Beth and Ernie's voice and jubilation that this place that so many lives were lost at and where so many women were wounded has now gone out of business. And I want you to think about what that day will be like in your community when the abortion facility or the Planned Parenthood abortion center closes its doors and goes out of business, or maybe that facility is converted into a place that affirms and protects life. That day can happen, but it has to start with somebody believing and then willing to take that belief and put it into action. And with that, let's talk about the plans as we move forward in this unified effort in 2010 and beyond. And right now I'm going to ask you, if you're following along in the action guide, to shift to page 5. We've got a lot to cover over these next few minutes here before we hear from the guests that I know many of you have gotten on this call specifically to hear from. We have gotten inundated since the end of 40 Days for Life, just literally 8 days ago, with emails and calls. And as I've still continued to be on the road, people everywhere are telling me we can't stop with all of the momentum that happened throughout this campaign, which was unprecedented for anything we've seen before. Everybody just said we cannot stop as long as children continue to be at risk, as long as women continue to be at risk of making a decision that comes to the life of regrets. We have to keep pressing forward until abortion ends. And literally, we've had over these last 2 years, following 40 Days for Life campaigns, over 16,000 people complete surveys telling us that this effort has to move forward, not only to do more and bigger 40 Days for Life campaigns, but to expand this effort even beyond the end of a specific 40 Days for Life campaign. And with that, I'm excited to announce two of the specific aspects of what is planned for this effort, thanks to your feedback over these last few years for 2010 and beyond. And the first is certainly to focus your attention for a minute at the top of page 5 in your action guide on the 40 Days for Life campaigns that have now been scheduled on the calendar for 2010. The first of those, the spring campaign, and I know some people in the northern climates question why February 17th is the start date could be considered spring, but we always align that campaign with the Lenten season beginning on Ash Wednesday and ending on Palm Sunday. But that campaign goes from February 17 to March 28th. And the second 40 Days for Life campaign next fall will be held September 22nd to October 31st. And we are going to continue to work from a national perspective on refining this campaign experience based on the feedback we have gotten and will continue to get from our local campaign leaders, making it easier for you to produce more results with less effort in a 40 Days for Life campaign in the future. And so I would encourage you to prayerfully discern what your role is in these campaigns, whether it's to lead a campaign in your community. Maybe your community has not yet done a 40 Days for Life, and you've heard all these amazing stories, and you say, well, we need to do this, and maybe you're the person that God is calling to do it. Most of the leaders that I've met traveling all across the country have told me they never thought they were the one to do it, but finally nobody else did it, and they said it has to be done, and they had enough of that little mustard seed of belief to take that step forward, led a campaign that it was able to, in many cases, transform communities and save many, many lives. And maybe that's what God is asking you to do. Or maybe he's asking you to serve on a leadership team with a local campaign in your community, or simply to participate, to pray, to fast, to stand vigil, to help with this grassroots outreach so that this effort can continue to have a greater and greater impact. So watch your email and watch the 40daysforlife.com website over the coming weeks, where we will be announcing the application dates for the spring campaign. And we have no idea what God has in store, but all of these campaigns have continued growing and growing every time. Spring campaign to spring campaign has just grown by leaps and bounds. Fall to fall, same thing. And everything that we're seeing thus far leads us to believe that God continues to expect bigger and bigger things from us. So we think that this will probably continue to grow, and we can't wait to see what more wonderful blessings are ahead for the 40 Days for Life campaign. Now, the second half, the bottom part of page 5, is the Ending Abortion Initiative. And this is what so many of you have told us for so long, and what we have been working on now for the last year behind the scenes and pretty much very quietly while working on running the 40 Days for Life campaigns. But many of you have told us we need to take this work to the next level to ensure that efforts continue on days 41 and beyond in a community. And the three key areas that people have told us that they wanted help, they wanted national guidance and leadership on, fell into three different categories: educating, equipping, and empowering. And essentially by education, that's the pro-life knowledge, the pro-life 101 apologetics, the facts, the figures, how abortion affects society, fetal development. This is the foundational starting point, educating ourselves so then we can educate others. The second area where people have asked for help and guidance beyond the 40 Days for Life is in equipping them, helping them to know what life-saving activities are the most effective, helping them to learn from the best practices of people in other communities, knowing how to do things, following proven patterns of success, things that you can do right where you live to save lives from abortion on the front lines and to protect women and men. And so we're prepared to help with many of those areas. And then the last area is in the area of empowerment. And what we mean by that is the organizing strategies and solutions. You have the education, you know the life-saving activities, but then the ways that you can empower all of that with organizational skills, leadership skills, technology, media training, skills that will build upon the education and that will enable the equipping, life-saving work. And so on page 6, we've actually identified, based on literally thousands of surveys that have been submitted, these are the areas that you've told us, and I'm not going to go through all of these right now on the phone, but under those three categories of educate, equip, and empower, these are the areas that you have told us are most important to have solutions to help address these problems and crises that exist in our individual communities. And so we're going to go through and address each of these and provide training and tools and templates to help you and your community be able to implement solutions that will take your work to a whole new level and that we believe will produce many, many more communities just like Pensacola and Kalispell, Montana, where abortion facilities will close and the people of God can celebrate the amazing, wonderful grace of God that has made that a reality. So those are some of the areas that we will be working on. And at the top of page 7, it tells you that we are beginning this effort. We are launching the Ending Abortion Initiative at the start of February 2010. After we get through the March for Life and the Walk for Life West Coast, big, huge events that we will be actively participating in, that is when this wave of this effort will be launched. While some communities will be gearing up for a spring campaign and others will be continuing to move beyond the 40 days they've done this fall, and other people will be doing these as standalone efforts. But it is during that time we will start rolling out to you proven success practices in each of these three areas, educate, equip, and empower, and modular systems made up of simple step-by-step guidance and easy-to-implement practices based on proven results in communities across the country. And we are actively partnering with the absolute top experts in each of these areas. I can't wait to share with you who is going to be working in these different topic areas as we roll this out. These experts are coming alongside you and your community to share their knowledge and expertise and help you to implement solutions that can grow your efforts to end abortion where you live. We've also invested thousands of dollars into the leading, industry-leading technology platform that will be able to deliver all of these systems to you literally at a moment's notice on demand through the internet in a very secure fashion. So you have what you need, when you need it, right at your fingertips. And our objective is to make all of these systems available to you beginning in February of 2010 at no cost so that this training, this help, this empowerment can reach the widest possible audience and impact the largest number of communities. So here's the bottom line with all of this as we look to the future. We all know that God has blessed us tremendously throughout this 40 Days for Life effort, and to whom much is given, much is expected. We need to keep moving this effort forward. And you've told us specifically where we need to go next. And with your help, we're going to press forward and make this reality, because we recognize this will have a profound impact not only on innocent unborn children in the womb, but literally on everybody who is affected by abortion. And with that, I'm going to turn the call back over to Sean Carney, who is going to introduce our very, very special guest, a most courageous woman that I am so incredibly proud of, and I'm honored to be on this call with her. And Sean, I will let you introduce our special guest tonight.
Well, thanks, David. And earlier we covered how 40 Days for Life began and how it spread all across the country and to other countries and the amazing results that it's had. And one of the questions that I always get when I'm visiting a vigil is, tell me about these abortion clinic workers who leave their jobs. And this next guest, Abby Johnson, is just one of those. What is so significant about Abby's story, and thanks to all of you for your emails and prayers and support. We have been overwhelmed the last 2 weeks since Planned Parenthood sent their press release and announced the news of Abby's conversion. We have been so humbled by your support. But people ask, you know, who are these people? And Abby is so significant because of where she worked. She worked at the Planned Parenthood abortion facility that has been the site of six total 40 Days for Life campaigns beginning in the fall of 2004. She has seen 40 Days for Life go all across the country, and in some ways she has more experience and knowledge of 40 Days for Life and its impact than anybody else on this call. And so, Abby, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Well, good, good. And we have obviously known each other for many years through the fence, as we continue to joke. There is a black fence with black metal bars, and then there was a black screen put over that fence during one of the 40 Days for Life campaigns. And I just want to take people through. I know you got involved in 40 Day. You got involved in Planned Parenthood around the same time that I got involved as a sidewalk counselor for the Coalition for Life and local grassroots ministry. And we sort of grew in our organizations as volunteers, and then we began working for each organization part-time, and then eventually I took over the Coalition for Life, and then a little while after that, you became the director of Planned Parenthood. And I have to tell you, I'm obviously definitely glad that you're on our side of the fence now, but we know each other very well, and we have become very good friends over the last week as we've been crammed in my office doing media interview after media interview. But you know, a few weeks ago, you were the director of the Planned Parenthood in Bryan, Texas, where 40 Days for Life began. And since you resigned your job early on in this fall's 40 Days for Life, you've been speaking on behalf of the unborn, and now you're here on this 40 Days for Life teleconference. Tell people who may have never heard your story before, even though many are familiar with it, what happened to you over the last month, over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, that led you to this point?
Well, basically, the turning point for me was actually seeing an abortion procedure happen on an ultrasound. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, say, well, gosh, Abby, you know, you worked there for 5 years and, you know, volunteered before that. I mean, hadn't you seen an abortion happened before? Hadn't you seen an ultrasound before? And yes, of course, the answer to that is yes, of course. But I had never seen an ultrasound-guided abortion procedure, and that's because they're very uncommon in large abortion facilities like Planned Parenthood. And one of the reasons they're uncommon is because they don't want their workers to see something like this. Because what you will see during an ultrasound-guided abortion procedure is you actually see this baby moving away from the probe that's about to take its life, and you see the baby fighting for its life. And these are things that they don't want their clinic workers to actually see, and that is what I saw that day when I that totally changed my life.
And I remember the first time you told me that story, you were an emotional mess. You had been through a lot, and you had literally come outside of your clinic and came for help with the people who were praying outside of your facility. After seeing this, and after, you know, days passing and you dwelling on this, what caused you not only to quit your job? You could have resigned. You could have left. We would have simply thought, well, Abby quit, we'll never hear again, who knows why she left. What in your heart made you join the people that you had been in opposition to for a number of years who had been praying outside of your abortion facility. What made you feel comfortable going to these people at that moment?
Well, when I saw that ultrasound take place, not only did I say, you know, this is wrong and I will never participate in this again, but there was a part of me that said, not only will I not participate in it again, but I am going to fight to make sure that women don't have to experience this, that women have better choices. And I didn't know what was going to come of that. I didn't know what plans God had in store for me, and I certainly didn't know that this was going to be happening. But when I did decide that Monday to leave, you know, my office and go to the Coalition for Life's office, I really just kept thinking about how there had been this welcoming voice always to me as I would go into the clinic, and I just kept hearing, you know, those volunteers that would be praying outside telling me, you know, we're here to help you, we're here to help you, we can help you if you ever want to get out. And you know, as I was sitting in my office and I was crying and I was thinking, who am I going to go to, I realized that so many of these, you know, so-called friends that I had were affiliated with the pro-choice movement, and these were people that I could not go to. And, you know, these people that I depended on and people that I called, you know, my you know, work family, I couldn't go to them because they would not understand what I was going through.
And I'll never forget this day, obviously, when you came over, and you've seen 40 Days for Life since 2004, back when David was still there. He had less gray hair then than he does now.
Hey.
But even you were there, and obviously you have seen as a Planned Parenthood director, you've kept up with 40 Days, you've seen how it spread from your location across the country, across the world, and it all started, you know, on that slab of concrete in front of the Planned Parenthood that you ran. From your very, very unique perspective, share with all these folks on the call tonight about the impact that you know 40 Days for Life has, not only on you, but on the other workers inside the abortion industry and on the rest of the country.
I think that, you know, one thing that I have said over and over again in the interviews that I've done is that, you know, there's no spirituality. There's no religion. God is not in the walls of that abortion facility. And so for many clinic workers that go in and out of that abortion facility every day that do consider themselves to be Christians, there are many abortion workers that consider themselves to be Christians. I considered myself to be a Christian while I was working there, and that is, you are in constant spiritual turmoil while you're working in the abortion industry. And one of the things that I think 40 Days for Life does is that although the clinic workers might think, oh, you know, what a nuisance, there's always somebody out there, it's a constant reminder of the reality of what you're doing. And it's a constant reminder that maybe you need to reprioritize your beliefs. And I've said before that, you know, it's important to reach out to those clinic workers as they're going in and out of that facility. And, you know, sometimes the clinic workers may act like they don't hear you. They may never speak to you. They may never talk to you. But they can't turn a deaf ear to what you're saying. And so those few seconds that you have to talk to them while they're walking from their car to that front door or back door to go into the clinic is so important, because though that message that you're giving to those clinic workers needs to be a powerful one, because they are listening to what you're saying.
Mm. So what would you say tonight to somebody who is thinking about getting involved with 40 Days for Life, who was on this call just introduced to what 40 Days for Life is and is considering either getting involved or supporting us tonight? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say that, you know, for many of you on the call that have been you know, actively involved in the 40 Days for Life campaign, there's probably some of you that are hearing these stories and, you know, maybe you're thinking, you know, I haven't seen any of these, you know, my abortion clinic's still open and there's probably a lot of things that are still going on. You're thinking, you know, why isn't this happening at my clinic? But just know that the prayer that you lift up to God outside of those facilities, it's making a difference. And there's probably many days that the volunteers outside of the Bryan College Station Clinic felt discouraged, and they probably thought, you know, I don't know if this is making a difference. And here comes the director of the facility walking into their office one day saying, I've had a change of heart, and I don't want to do abortions anymore. And not only do I not want to do abortions, I want to work with you in the pro-life movement. So you never know who you're impacting. And I would also say that, you know, sometimes it's scary to get involved in something new if you've never led a 40 Days for Life or if you've never gone outside to pray at a facility. But, you know, just take that step of faith and just know that, someone said earlier, that God will provide. You know, you may think you don't have enough volunteers. You may think you don't have the resources, but God will provide. This campaign is His, and He will provide for you.
And for all those people who have ever felt like they've been alone praying in front of a clinic, I know how you feel. If you've ever felt like it's not doing any good, I know how you feel. But I also know how it felt the day that was just, I guess, about 15 days ago when I got a text message from Abby Johnson, who, you know, just a few weeks ago ran the 40 Days for Life, or ran the Planned Parenthood in Bryan College Station, Texas. I got a text message from her that said, I just prayed in front of the clinic and have participated in 40 Days for Life. You have to believe that that can happen. And hearing Abby's story over and over and over again can only be inspirational, not only to those who are still in this industry and are considering leaving, but for those of you who are going out to these clinics, who are leading the campaigns, and who are financially supporting these campaigns, because they make a difference. And I ask everybody to keep Abby in your prayers, especially tomorrow. As you know, Planned Parenthood filed a temporary injunction against her of confidentiality because they don't want her sharing her story in the future, and that ends tomorrow, and there is a hearing to try to make that permanent. And so please keep her in your prayers. Planned Parenthood is doing what they always do, which is sending attorneys after workers who have had a change of heart on this issue. So pray for her. She will be on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News on Wednesday night. She was on Governor Mike Huckabee's show on Fox News last Saturday night. And my wife, who has heard her story over and over again, was sitting there in tears watching that testimony. So it has such an impact. I want to move into some of the needs. We mentioned that we are going to ask for two opportunities for you to support this work financially. And we need to let you know some of the challenges that come with this. Anybody who knows myself or David know we pour everything we have into this, but we are an extremely small operation. We have one full-time employee, that's David. And then we have three contract workers, and we don't have an office. Whenever someone asks us where our office is located, we talk about our laptops because that's where our offices are. David works out of the corner of his bedroom, but this keeps costs very low. We don't have a big bureaucracy. We don't have a lot of overhead, but we're also stretched very, very thin just in personnel alone and the amount of workers and part-time workers that we have. And so this fall, we drastically exceeded our organizational capacity. Not only have the campaigns doubled in size, but our team hasn't expanded at all. And we have to do more, but in order to do more, we need to raise more funds. And so financially, we're always completely transparent with everybody. This is a small operation. We are very close to many of you who run the campaigns and who financially support the campaigns. We see this as like a family, so we always want to be open and honest. And we have only asked for money for three times since this campaign started. Number one, we haven't had time to ask for money because we've been too busy, and so we've only asked for three times so far in the history of this effort to support this effort. The last time we asked for funds was 6 months ago. And we haven't needed to do more because God has faithfully provided exactly what we've needed when it was needed. And because of the response of you, on those three asks, those three times that we've asked for money, we've been given everything that we've needed to conduct successful campaigns. And you saw the fruits of those campaigns here tonight earlier on the call. And so, you know, David and I, we work in the nonprofit world. We know this is unheard of. We know you're not supposed to just ask for money three times over a span of 4 years. But over 95% of our time is dedicated to this, to the results that you heard, and not to fundraising. And so we carve out this time, we carve out these calls with the intention to raise the funds that's needed. And we've invested everything that we possibly could into this last 40 Days for Life campaign. And each of those massive webcasts that you heard, particularly the Stop the Abortion Mandate, which again, that wasn't planned. We didn't budget for that. We saw a need. Others were asking us to participate, and we knew we had the knowledge and the technology to do it, but we didn't budget for it, and it cost thousands of dollars. It cost a lot of money, and I know David poured his heart. I have never seen David B. Wright as focused or stressed about something that got so many results and helped impact the healthcare bill. And so that call, which had 38,000 people on it, while it was unplanned for, we know that we were supposed to do that. But again, it wasn't budgeted for, and we weren't going to run out and take the time to try to raise the money. And so we have had huge opportunities. We didn't want to hold anything back. We have gone forward with those opportunities, but our resources are depleted. And the bottom line is that we have a bigger vision. This is growing. This is going somewhere. It only gets larger every time one of these campaigns happen. And we know that through God, all things are possible. And if we raise all the funds tonight, we can move forward on all the exciting initiatives that we've discussed earlier in growing the spring campaign. And so, but if we don't raise the support immediately, we're not going to be able to move forward. And it is just our inability time-wise to focus on fundraising. And so that's why we're focusing on it tonight. And we always need your prayers. We have always felt your prayers. But tonight we're asking for your financial support. And so David mentioned a surprise announcement, and several donors who want to remain anonymous, all of which don't know each other and are spread out all throughout the country, but people who, despite the state of the economy, have seen the impact of this campaign, they felt called to sacrificially invest at a time when other investments aren't doing that great. They wanted to invest in this effort so that we can have a huge impact, and they wanted to inspire you. They wanted to encourage you to give. And so we were given a matching challenge. The matching challenge is in the amount of $85,000. So we have a matching gift of $85,000, which is a huge opportunity. It's the largest matching gift we've ever received, which is great because we have the largest need that we've ever had in our history because of this rapid growth. And so what that means for you is that every gift given between now and next Tuesday, November 7th at midnight, will be doubled up to $85,000.
November 17th, Sean.
November 17th, that's right. And so I don't want people to get back in their DeLorean and give us the gift. But every gift given between now and November 17th, next Tuesday, will be doubled up to $85,000. That's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge. If you take your monthly pledge and multiply it times 12, that's the amount that will be doubled. And so these generous donations are made. The $85,000 was made to inspire you and to encourage you to give. And so tonight we will have two appeals, and the first one goes back to that one-time gift. And I just mentioned the impact that 40 Days for Life has had. You just heard from Abby and all of the things that have happened. And for those of you especially that have prayed in front of the clinic, I, you know, in the bottom of my heart, I hoped Abby would convert. And I can remember saying so many prayers. I can remember my wife walking her to her car just saying, "We're here for you. We're praying for you." This was years ago. And we thought it was – we had so much hope that she would have a change of heart specifically. But I don't know how much faith we had in that. And as our faith grew, as we started to see 40 Days for Life spread nationally, we started to see these other clinic workers leave their jobs. I remember thinking, and I told this to a local police officer who reminded me of it a few weeks ago when I shared with him Abby's story. I remember thinking, Abby's on the verge of a conversion. And I remember praying for her. I remember many of our volunteers praying for her by name. And as a result of that, somebody who staunchly supported abortion, participated in abortion, encouraged abortion, advocated for abortion, was on this call tonight sharing her amazing testimony about how we need to fight to end abortion. That is the power of this campaign. It's a power bigger than us, and it's a power that only encourages us to have more faith in God. And so look at that picture in your action guide of myself and Abby standing in front of the clinic that for years I have been trying to close and David has been trying to close, and we have been praying that it would close and praying for the workers and the women who go in there, and there the director is standing there smiling on our side of the fence, and you need to picture yourself in that photo because that could be you. I wouldn't have said a year ago that it was going to be me now, but it is. And it could easily be you. And so reflect on that. We're going to have a moment where we're going to walk through the appeal. And if you look at the middle, just under that picture, the middle of page 9 in your action guide, you will see the one-time gift. And that's what the first time, that's what the first donation is for tonight, a one-time gift. And it's very simple. In order to make a one-time gift, simply click on the link, and it will take you to the one-time gift section. And you can also on the webcast, if you're listening on the webcast, below Get Action Guide, click on Make a One-Time Donation. And when you click on that, you will see the different levels to give. And some of you, if you look at these levels, we put $25,000 on there because somebody could be on this call that could help match $25,000 of that $85,000. And some of you may be called to do that. Others, $2,500. And again, if you give $2,500, that means 40 Days for Life receives $5,000 because of the dollar-for-dollar match. You see $250. You see $25. Whatever you can give, pray about it, think about it, and make sure that you get it in before November 17th, Tuesday at midnight. And also, if you want to mail in your donation, you can see the click here button below the amounts, and you simply click on that button if you want to mail it in. If you don't want to give online, you can mail in that form, fill out that form, and the post date needs to be dated by November 17th. And so everything that you give, it just needs to be mailed by November 17th in order for the match to take place. But if you want to give online, simply click on your amount, whatever it may be. Click on your amount, and it's going to take you to an order form. Many of us are familiar with this. It's just like anything else. And we'll give you time to fill out your name, your first name, your last name, and your phone number. And as you go through, continue to some of you still may be reflecting on what you can give, discerning, or if you have to speak to a spouse, feel free to do that. But as donations come in, as I know they are, we want to get to this match, particularly by November 17th. So fill in your name, fill in your phone number, your email, and all of your address. And then at the bottom, under the payment information, you put in all the information for your credit card. And you can use a debit card if you want. The system will accept debit cards. Or you can use your credit cards. And please, we love this. I know David really likes this. Send comments in with your donation, why you gave, or what was so inspirational about the campaign in your local area, or any of the comments you have on the call tonight. Feel free to put in that box any comments, because they're very good for us, and we hang on to them. When you're done filling out your amount and all of your information and your credit card information, you simply hit that green button, submit order, and everything, dollar for dollar, will be matched up to $85,000. That's why we ask you to stretch yourself during this time, because the stretch goes a long way, because everything is matched. So if everybody does the highest amount that they possibly can or that they feel they're called to do, that will be matched. And it is such a great investment, and it's going to help this effort continue to grow. And who knows what we are in for the spring. We are tired of trying to predict of what will happen because of all the things that have happened this fall. And so when you hit the green button, you would have submitted your order. And again, if you want to mail it in, you simply download that form and you can mail a one-time gift in that way. And I want to hand this off to David so he can take people through the monthly pledge opportunity.
All right, Sean, thank you so much. And I just wanted to say before we go into the monthly pledge on page 10 of your action guide, I wanted to say to Abby Johnson how incredibly proud we all are of you. We've had hundreds of questions. Literally, I'm looking at 246 questions that poured in tonight, and we frankly just don't have the time to go into a lot of the questions. We'll try to address those over the next few days here. But Jennifer in Cherry Hill, New Jersey said, and I think she's speaking for all of us, she said, Abby, you are a total inspiration. We love you. Thank you for having the courage to speak out. You're beautiful. We're praying for you. Thank you for sharing that we should reach out with love and offer help to other clinic workers. This is good information for us. We love you. And I think that's speaking for all of us. And I just want to say to everybody who has been inspired by Abby's story, by the story of Pensacola, and by so many incredible reports from 212 cities across the country. Maybe a 40 Days for Life happened in your community and you were blessed by that, or maybe you followed along through the daily reports, you watched the videos, or you listened to the audio reports, and you read the updates on the 40 Days for Life blog. And I want to thank you. This effort is not about David. It's not about Sean. It's not about 40 Days for Life organizationally. It's really a story about God working through his faithful people, and that is each of you. And we are so incredibly humbled and honored to partner with each of you in this work. I wake up every day and I just thank the good Lord for the opportunity to join him in the incredible things that he is doing. As we travel, and my family sometimes, we pay a big price for being involved in all this. We've lost a lot of sleep. We've done a lot of long miles on the road, and our minivan has 196,000 miles to show for it, and my kids have been to 39 states visiting 40 Days for Life, and their homeschooling has been done on the road. But as we've met the most heroic people in the country, we are just so incredibly blessed to have this little part in what God is doing. And even now, as I'm watching so many people that are making these one-time gifts that Sean has led you through tonight, I just want to say personal thanks to Jeff in Rancho Cordova, California, to Jason in Orlando, Florida, to Carol Marie in Tahoe City, California, to Ann and Dawn in Glen Ellen, Illinois, to Cheryl in Raleigh, North Carolina, to Teresa in Cincinnati, Ohio, to Linda in Pace, Florida, to Mary in Chicago, Illinois, to Joanne in Charlotte, North Carolina, to Jerome and Mary in Reno, Nebraska, to Bob in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, to Thomas in Apollo Beach, Florida, to Martin in Prince Frederick, Maryland, to Mark in Peoria, Arizona, to Sharon in Prescott, Arizona, to Grace in Bear, Delaware, to Cecilia in Naperville, Illinois, to Priscilla in Saco, please forgive me, I know you said it when you first called in Maine, Earl in Wildwood, Missouri, and John, our 40 Days for Life leader in the northern Massachusetts part, North Andover, Massachusetts, Jerry Eck in Sedona, Arizona, Francis in Cowpen, South Carolina, Monica in California, HB California, Kennesaw, Georgia, thank you, Marie, Jess in New York City, praise God, you guys are doing awesome work, Queen Creek, Arizona, Patricia, thank you, Mary in Beverly Hills, Michigan, David in Austin, Texas, and the list is going on, and they're just pouring in, and I want to say thank you. It is because of you that this effort continues to bear fruit. It is because of your faithfulness and your belief that together we can accomplish something great, that God is blessing these efforts. And I want to invite you just for a moment to consider prayerfully whether maybe God is leading you tonight to make a pledge of ongoing support. And I know in these difficult economic times, it's harder for people to make one-time gifts, but this is a time that we can't back down on our pro-life work. I remember, Sean, you mentioned Governor Huckabee's show that Abby was just on, and I remember when you and I were with Governor Huckabee in Texas just a few months ago, and he was telling us about how during economic times that are tough, people want to pull back on their giving because it's hard for them, just like everybody else. But he said in the pro-life arena, that's the worst thing we can do. We not only can't pull back, we can't even maintain the status quo, because when times are rough financially, that's when people who are in a crisis pregnancy are far more apt to choose abortion. So if ever there is a time we need to rally support, and we need to work together and sacrificially invest into these efforts, that time is right now. And maybe the way God is leading you tonight, and this is totally not what David's asking or what Sean's asking, this is what God puts on your heart tonight, maybe you feel led to make a pledge of ongoing monthly support into these efforts. And on page 10, we have a picture there at the top of Ernie and some of his family members and some of the people there in Pensacola, Florida. And what they didn't even know, that was their concluding event of their 40 Days for Life, and behind them is the abortion facility, that when that picture was snapped, they did not even know that 2 days earlier that abortion facility had gone out of business. And I want you to think about what that's going to be like in your town when you do get the news that the abortion facility closest to you has shut its doors and gone out of business, where no more children will perish there and no more women will be wounded there. And through your ongoing faithful support of these efforts, that truly can happen. And so I would ask you on the page 10 there, if you're on the action guide or if you're on the webcast page or where you've got the number to call in, you can click the link that says make a pledge of monthly support or click the make your pledge online on the action guide. And just like the other mention that Sean walked you through, the one-time gift, that will take you to a separate page for a monthly gift. And if you feel led to make a $1,000 monthly pledge, keep in mind that would be times 12 is 12,000. That would be doubled to $24,000 instantly tonight. Or if you feel led to make a $100 a month pledge or even a $10 a month pledge. This effort is not built on lots of big foundations and lots of big gifts from donors. This effort has been made up of lots of $10, $25, and $50 gifts. That is what has empowered 40 Days for Life, and that's how we know this is God's work and it's not ours. It's not about big money and power and influence. It's about the ordinary people coming together to do extraordinary things. And if you want to click one of those links for the monthly pledge on the webpage, or you can print out on that page the PDF form if you'd rather print something out and write a check and mail it in and then have a statement sent to you on a monthly basis. It's a whole lot easier administratively for it to be done through the online credit card processing, because we, with a tiny staff, it's very difficult sometimes to get a statement to send out on a monthly basis. So if you're able to make the pledge online, that certainly makes things easier for us. But whatever works for you, we're here to serve you. And so you can do that online. You click the amount, it'll take you to an order page. And here's the one thing I want to warn you about. We're using a very simple order processing system. We can't afford the big high-dollar nonprofit donation processing software that some organizations use, and so we've used a very simple solution here. And as a result of that, the monthly pledge, do not, if you want to give a pledge for 12 months, don't change the quantity on that online page. It will automatically, whatever amount you choose, it will automatically charge that pledge amount to you every single month automatically, and you can let us know the amount of months that you want that to go for. There's an email address on that page where you can let us know that if you want it to be a specific period of time. But if you change that quantity, let's say you were going to make a pledge of $100 a month and you changed it to 12, saying I want to do it for 12 months, it would immediately charge your credit card $1,200, and we don't want that to happen. So don't change the quantity, enter the amount of your monthly pledge in, and that will automatically be charged into your credit card per month, or you can send that in by check. And remember that everything that you give is a pledge. Whatever amount you pledge from tonight forward, if you've pledged in the past and you want to renew your pledge, that will be annualized out for the next 12 months. If you want to increase your pledge, that will be annualized out. Whatever amount you pledge tonight as a result of this call or after listening to the recording of this call, up for the next week until November 17th at midnight, that amount times 12 will be doubled, that thanks to the generosity of these amazingly faithful people who've put up this $85,000 matching challenge. So I'd like to just, before we wrap this up and before we conclude for the night, I would like for us to just pray and put this before God as we make decisions about how He leads us to support this work. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to join you in the great work that you are doing here. We give glory to you for the amazing story that has come out of Bryan College Station as Abby has had this profound conversion experience and has come out to not only leave the abortion industry, but to begin to work to protect human life and share her testimony that is going to impact so many millions, millions, millions of people. We are so honored to have her in our midst. We thank you for the victories in Pensacola and Kalispell of abortion facilities closing, and we thank you for the many, many victories, the more than 580 lives that have been spared from abortion during this campaign, those who have found healing from abortion. We just thank you for all of the great work that you are doing, that you have done, and the many things we will never even know about until we arrive in heaven and get to meet you. Dear Lord, please lead our hearts tonight in what you want us to do. Let it not be about what some person asks, but let it be about what you put on our hearts. Guide us on the amount of a one-time gift and an amount of a monthly pledge that we can make into this work, and help us to be faithful in responding to that call. Remove all the distractions from our minds and take away perhaps any of the preconceived numbers that we came into this call that would be easy and convenient for us to do, and help us to do what you want us to do tonight and to do it with faith. I just thank you and glorify you for all that you are doing, and I thank you for the many, many, many amazing and faithful people who have made this work a reality, and we ask that in everything we do, that it glorify you and it help to build your kingdom here on earth. We ask this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to thank Jamie in Albuquerque, Suzanne in Clearwater, Florida, Patrick in Tiffin, Ohio, James in College Station, Texas, David in Lake Forest, California, Elizabeth in Holman, Washington, Patricia in Glen Ellen, Illinois, Patricia in Kings Park, New York, Helen in Louisville, Kentucky, Monica in Phillipsburg, Kansas. Sean, this is amazing. I'm just very humbled.
Yeah.
Marcia in Lemoore, California, Felix in Alameda, California, Andy in Willard, Ohio, Nikki in Verona, Pennsylvania, Kathleen in Marlboro, Massachusetts, Sheila in San Jose, California, Aaron Burrow in Bryan, Texas, Hi Aaron, Mary in Cincinnati, Ohio, Nancy in Gold River, California, and they keep pouring in. You are amazing. Y'all inspire us, and we are so touched and so honored that you are partnering with us in this work. And my one promise to you, I can promise you that every dollar you invest, not only will it be matched and doubled tonight, but also I can promise you that we will be good stewards of those resources, and every dollar will be used to help further these efforts to bring an end to this injustice of abortion in our nation and throughout our world. Tonight we've covered a lot of information. You've heard about the problem we face in the pro-life movement. You've heard about the hope that we have as people are mobilizing in record numbers. You've heard about 40 Days for Life, where it began, and the impact that it's had, the results of this fall and the cumulative results. You've heard about how this effort has influenced national debate over critical issues facing our country. You've heard a success story from Pensacola, Florida, an abortion facility that closed. You've heard the plans for 2010. The two 40 Days for Life campaigns, the Ending Abortion Initiative. You've heard the absolutely profound and beautiful testimony of Abby Johnson, a beautiful and inspirational young lady. You've heard that there are needs for this work to continue to grow and expand, and you've had the opportunity to make a one-time gift and a monthly pledge. Together, my friends, we have belief that faith, as small as a mustard seed, that we can say to this mountain of abortion, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for us. And we believe, as you do, that this effort will literally transform our nation and bring an end to abortion for once and for all. So thank you for being a part of this teleconference, for this webcast, the many, many people that are continuing to make donations even as we speak. I want to thank all of you. We don't want to spend the whole night on the phone here acknowledging every single person, but please spread the word to others. Encourage them to go to 40daysforlife.com/believe, and that link will then tomorrow forward to the recording of this call so others can listen to the beautiful and touching testimonials you've heard tonight. And let's press forward in this work, and let's finish the job that God has begun. Let's bring an end to abortion. And Sean, would you mind leading us in just a final wrap-up prayer to end our night?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of 40 Days for Life and everyone on this call who has participated in it. We are all here from whatever background, whatever situation. We are all on this call tonight because of our love for you. You guide us. We can only participate in your work on earth through courage, through faith, and through knowing that you have a plan for every single human life beginning at conception. We pray for all women who will walk into abortion clinics tomorrow and have abortions. We pray for all women who tonight are finding out that they are pregnant and do not want to be. And we pray for all those who are on the fence on this issue, that you will pierce their hearts, that you will encourage them, and that you will get them off the fence and out to the places to where the abortions actually happen, so that your love, your mercy can strike their heart and they can choose life for the babies that are scheduled to be aborted all across our nation. We thank you for the gift of life. We celebrate life. We thank you for each other, for our families, and for you dying on Calvary for us so that we could live the lives that we live and know that one day we will be with you, with all of those babies, with all of these women, and rejoicing in your heavenly kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, and have a blessed night. And we look forward to seeing what great things God has in store for the rest of this year and 2010 and beyond. Good night.
Good night, everybody.